A Ghanaian man who once made jewelry from glass beads is now using old glass to make new art. He hopes to reduce glass waste and help the environment in his country. If glass artist Michael Tete can earn some money doing it, he will be happy too. Tete learned the art of glass blowing during a visit to Europe in 2012. He went to see people who knew about glass blowing in the Netherlands and France and learned to make many colored artistic flower holders or water carriers. Many years later, Tete has his own workplace where he melts broken glass from waste centers in Accra and turns it into art. He looks for broken glass from old televisions or bottles and melts it down in a large round container known as a kiln. The kiln gets very hot, nearly 1,500 degrees Celsius, and turns the old glass into hot liquid. Tete, now 44, is the nation's only professional glass blower. He uses a long pole to remove a ball of melted glass from the kiln and starts working to shape the glass into colorful items people can use again. If he can teach more people to make art pieces from glass, he can reduce his country's need to bring in glass from China. Ghana imports about $300 million worth of glass and pottery each year, says the Observatory for Economic Complexity. About 80% comes from China. He hopes to make Ghana's glass bead-making tradition into a larger industry with people doing many different jobs. "Glass is my passion, my heart," he said. "It takes you on a journey from one place to another." In addition to helping his country keep more money in Ghana, Tete thinks a larger glass economy will also make his country cleaner. A glass waste collection program would help. Tete works in the area called Odumase Krobo and trains other glass blowers in his shop. He learned how to make his equipment by watching videos on a computer. He said he is trying to follow the designs of well-known American glass artist Dale Chihuly. "My heart wants to train young Ghanaians, both men and women, so they can learn this job," he said. "We will not have to go to other countries like China to buy what we want for Ghana." Over the years, he has gotten better at the work. Now Tete's pieces are sold in shops in Ghana and Ivory Coast. Some of his work is also sold in art stores in Europe and the U.S. I'm Dan Friedel. A Ghanaian man who once made jewelry from glass beads is now using old glass to make new art. He hopes to reduce glass waste and help the environment in his country. If glass artist Michael Tete can earn some money doing it, he will be happy too. Tete learned the art of glass blowing during a visit to Europe in 2012. He went to see people who knew about glass blowing in the Netherlands and France and learned to make many colored artistic flower holders or water carriers. Many years later, Tete has his own workplace where he melts broken glass from waste centers in Accra and turns it into art. He looks for broken glass from old televisions or bottles and melts it down in a large round container known as a kiln. The kiln gets very hot, nearly 1,500 degrees Celsius, and turns the old glass into hot liquid. Tete, now 44, is the nation's only professional glassblower. He uses a long pole to remove a ball of melted glass from the kiln and starts working to shape the glass into colorful items people can use again. If he can teach more people to make art pieces from glass, he can reduce his country's need to bring in glass from China. Ghana imports about $300 million worth of glass and pottery each year, says the Observatory for Economic Complexity. About 80% comes from China. He hopes to make Ghana's glass bead-making tradition into a larger industry with people doing many different jobs. "Glass is my passion, my heart," he said. "It takes you on a journey from one place to another." In addition to helping his country keep more money in Ghana, Tete thinks a larger glass economy will also make his country cleaner. A glass waste collection program would help. Tete works in the area called Odumase Krobo and trains other glass blowers in his shop. He learned how to make his equipment by watching videos on a computer. He said he is trying to follow the designs of well-known American glass artist Dale Chihuly. "My heart wants to train young Ghanaians, both men and women, so they can learn this job," he said. "We will not have to go to other countries like China to buy what we want for Ghana." Over the years, he has gotten better at the work. Now Tete's pieces are sold in shops in Ghana and Ivory Coast. Some of his work is also sold in art stores in Europe and the U.S. I'm Dan Friedel. A Ghanaian man who once made jewelry from glass beads is now using old glass to make new art. He hopes to reduce glass waste and help the environment in his country. If glass artist Michael Tete can earn some money doing it, he will be happy too. Tete learned the art of glass blowing during a visit to Europe in 2012. He went to see people who knew about glass blowing in the Netherlands and France and learned to make many colored artistic flower holders or water carriers. Many years later, Tete has his own workplace where he melts broken glass from waste centers in Accra and turns it into art. He looks for broken glass from old televisions or bottles and melts it down in a large round container known as a kiln. The kiln gets very hot, nearly 1,500 degrees Celsius, and turns the old glass into hot liquid. Tete, now 44, is the nation's only professional glass blower. He uses a long pole to remove a ball of melted glass from the kiln and starts working to shape the glass into colorful items people can use again. If he can teach more people to make art pieces from glass, he can reduce his country's need to bring in glass from China. Ghana imports about $300 million worth of glass and pottery each year, says the Observatory for Economic Complexity. About 80% comes from China. He hopes to make Ghana's glass bead-making tradition into a larger industry with people doing many different jobs. "Glass is my passion, my heart," he said. "It takes you on a journey from one place to another." In addition to helping his country keep more money in Ghana, Tete thinks a larger glass economy will also make his country cleaner. A glass waste collection program would help. Tete works in the area called Odumase Krobo and trains other glass blowers in his shop. He learned how to make his equipment by watching videos on a computer. He said he is trying to follow the designs of well-known American glass artist Dale Chihuly. My heart wants to train young Ghanaians, both men and women, so they can learn this job, he said. We will not have to go to other countries like China to buy what we want for Ghana. Over the years, he has gotten better at the work. Now Tete's pieces are sold in shops in Ghana and Ivory Coast. Some of his work is also sold in art stores in Europe and the U.S. I'm Dan Friedel.
The tallest building in New York City is going green. No, the Empire State Building is not being painted, but it is getting an environmental makeover. Faith Lapidus tells about the planned changes.
The Empire State Building opened in 1931. It stands just over 443 meters tall. For many years, it was the tallest building in the world. Soon, it will be one of the world's greenest. The owners of the historic building say a planned makeover will reduce energy use in the building by 38%. They say it will save more than $4 million a year in energy costs. The Empire State Building has 6,500 windows. New, special, thick glass will replace the glass currently in the windows. This insulated glass will make the inside of the building cooler in summer and warmer in winter. Paul Rode is a leader of the renovation project. He says the windows will insulate almost as well as the walls they are connected to. Workers will also add energy-efficient lights and improved building control systems. These will include more modern air cooling and heating systems. The effort will help reduce carbon dioxide releases from the Empire State Building by more than 100,000 tons a year. Carbon dioxide is one of the gases that causes the warming of Earth's atmosphere. Building owners say such makeovers are very important to reduce levels of greenhouse gases in New York. They say 80% of these gases come from city buildings. The project is to be completed in 4 years. The first improvements will cost $20 million. But Paul Rhodes says it is a sensible financial investment.
The tallest building in New York City is going green. No, the Empire State Building is not being painted, but it is getting an environmental makeover. Faith Lapidus tells about the planned changes.
The Empire State Building opened in 1931. It stands just over 443 meters tall. For many years, it was the tallest building in the world. Soon, it will be one of the world's greenest. The owners of the historic building say a planned makeover will reduce energy use in the building by 38%. They say it will save more than $4 million a year in energy costs. The Empire State Building has 6,500 windows. New, special, thick glass will replace the glass currently in the windows. This insulated glass will make the inside of the building cooler in summer and warmer in winter. Paul Rhode is a leader of the renovation project. He says the windows will insulate almost as well as the walls they are connected to. Workers will also add energy-efficient lights and improved building control systems. These will include more modern air cooling and heating systems. The effort will help reduce carbon dioxide releases from the Empire State Building by more than 100,000 tons a year. Carbon dioxide is one of the gases that causes the warming of Earth's atmosphere. Building owners say such makeovers are very important to reduce levels of greenhouse gases in New York. They say 80% of these gases come from city buildings. The project is to be completed in 4 years. The first improvements will cost $20 million. But Paul Rhodes says it is a sensible financial investment.
The tallest building in New York City is going green. No, the Empire State Building is not being painted, but it is getting an environmental makeover. Faith Lapidus tells about the planned changes.
The Empire State Building opened in 1931. It stands just over 443 meters tall. For many years, it was the tallest building in the world. Soon, it will be one of the world's greenest. The owners of the historic building say a planned makeover will reduce energy use in the building by 38%. They say it will save more than $4 million a year in energy costs. The Empire State Building has 6,500 windows. New, special, thick glass will replace the glass currently in the windows. This insulated glass will make the inside of the building cooler in summer and warmer in winter. Paul Rhode is a leader of the renovation project. He says the windows will insulate almost as well as the walls they are connected to. Workers will also add energy-efficient lights and improved building control systems. These will include more modern air cooling and heating systems. The effort will help reduce carbon dioxide releases from the Empire State Building by more than 100,000 tons a year. Carbon dioxide is one of the gases that causes the warming of Earth's atmosphere. Building owners say such makeovers are very important to reduce levels of greenhouse gases in New York. They say 80% of these gases come from city buildings. The project is to be completed in 4 years. The first improvements will cost $20 million, but Paul Rhodes says it is a sensible financial investment.
Okay, today I'm going to speak about the top five things to see, in my opinion, in Scotland. The first thing I want to talk about is the Kelpies. The Kelpies is a massive sculpture that is in Fife. The sculpture is of two horses' heads rearing up out of the ground, and it's supposed to represent the mythical figure of the Kelpie, or the water horse, which figures in Scottish legends. The second attraction is the Forth Rail Bridge. This is a bridge near Edinburgh, and it's a red bridge made of steel or iron, and trains pass over it, and it's a very iconic bridge. It's got a big triangle shape, and it's bright red. The third attraction is Edinburgh Castle. This is in Edinburgh, in the capital of Scotland. The castle was built on top of an extinct volcano, so it's up high and you have a great view of the city from the castle. It's a very old castle, and there's one part of it, the chapel, that dates back to the time of Queen Margaret in the Middle Ages. The fourth attraction is Kelvin Grove Museum in Glasgow. Glasgow is one of the big cities in Scotland, and this museum is in a very beautiful building, and it has a very beautiful park near it, which is very popular during the summer. People like to go for picnics and to sit and have a drink with their friends. In this museum, you can find lots of different things. There are some paintings by the Glasgow Boys. That's a group of Scottish painters. There's also the very famous painting by Salvador Dali, and it's the Christ of St. John on the cross. A very beautiful painting too. There are also exhibits about clothes, about science. There's also a stuffed elephant in the main hall of the museum. And at lunchtime, you can listen to an organ concert here. And the last attraction is called Clava Cairns. This is in the northeast of Scotland near Inverness. And it's a very natural site, a very beautiful, peaceful place. And it's a Pictish graveyard. So this means that it's a place where the ancient people of Scotland buried their dead. And you have many standing stones and cairns. Cairns, it's a Scottish word for a grave made out of stones. And it's a very calming, relaxing place to be. So I love it a lot. I hope you get the chance to visit some of these places if you ever come to Scotland. Okay, today I'm going to speak about the top five things to see, in my opinion, in Scotland. The first thing I want to talk about is the Kelpies. The Kelpies is a massive sculpture that is in Fife. The sculpture is of two horses' heads rearing up out of the ground, and it's supposed to represent the mythical figure of the Kelpie, or the water horse, which figures in Scottish legends. The second attraction is the Forth Rail Bridge. This is a bridge near Edinburgh, and it's a red bridge made of steel or iron, and trains pass over it, and it's a very iconic bridge. It's got a big triangle shape, and it's bright red. The third attraction is Edinburgh Castle. This is in Edinburgh, in the capital of Scotland. The castle was built on top of an extinct volcano, so it's up high and you have a great view of the city from the castle. It's a very old castle, and there's one part of it, the chapel, that dates back to the time of Queen Margaret in the Middle Ages. The fourth attraction is Kelvin Grove Museum in Glasgow. Glasgow is one of the big cities in Scotland. And this museum is in a very beautiful building, and it has a very beautiful park near it, which is very popular during the summer. People like to go for picnics and to sit and have a drink with their friends. In this museum, you can find lots of different things. There are some paintings by the Glasgow Boys. That's a group of Scottish painters. There's also the very famous painting by Salvador Dali, and it's the Christ of St. John on the cross. A very beautiful painting too. There are also exhibits about clothes, about science. There's also a stuffed elephant in the main hall of the museum. And at lunchtime, you can listen to an organ concert here. And the last attraction is called Clava Cairns. This is in the northeast of Scotland near Inverness. And it's a very natural site, a very beautiful, peaceful place. And it's a Pictish graveyard. So this means that it's a place where the ancient people of Scotland buried their dead. And you have many standing stones and cairns. Cairns, it's a Scottish word for a grave made out of stones. And it's a very calming, relaxing place to be. So I love it a lot. I hope you get the chance to visit some of these places if you ever come to Scotland. Okay, today I'm going to speak about the top five things to see, in my opinion, in Scotland. The first thing I want to talk about is the Kelpies. The The Kelpies is a massive sculpture that is in Fife. The sculpture is of two horses' heads rearing up out of the ground, and it's supposed to represent the mythical figure of the Kelpie, or the water horse, which figures in Scottish legends. The second attraction is the Forth Rail Bridge. This is a bridge near Edinburgh, and it's a red bridge made of steel or iron, and trains pass over it, and it's a very iconic bridge. It's got a big triangle shape, and it's bright red. The third attraction is Edinburgh Castle. This is in Edinburgh, in the capital of Scotland. The castle was built on top of an extinct volcano, so it's up high and you have a great view of the city from the castle. It's a very old castle, and there's one part of it, the chapel, that dates back to the time of Queen Margaret in the Middle Ages. The fourth attraction is Kelvin Grove Museum in Glasgow. Glasgow is one of the big cities in Scotland. And this museum is in a very beautiful building, and it has a very beautiful park near it, which is very popular during the summer. People like to go for picnics and to sit and have a drink with their friends. In this museum, you can find lots of different things. There are some paintings by the Glasgow Boys. That's a group of Scottish painters. There's also the very famous painting by Salvador Dali, and it's the Christ of St. John on the cross. A very beautiful painting too. There are also exhibits about clothes, about science. There's also a stuffed elephant in the main hall of the museum. And at lunchtime, you can listen to an organ concert here. And the last attraction is called Clavacairns. This is in the northeast of Scotland near Inverness. And it's a very natural site, a very beautiful, peaceful place. And it's a Pictish graveyard. So this means that it's a place where the ancient people of Scotland buried their dead. And you have many standing stones and cairns. Cairns, it's a Scottish word for a grave made out of stones. And it's a very calming, relaxing place to be. So I love it a lot. I hope you get the chance to visit some of these places if you ever come to Scotland.